Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now to talk some basketball is our guy Mark Deeks, who is on Twitter at Mark Deeks NBA, basketball analyst for Sham Sports. And I just have to say, on behalf, Mark, of the United States of America, I apologize for exporting Knicks and Wizards. You deserve better.
You know what? We generally don't get the choice matchup. Last year we had Boston Philly. We thought, here we go. We're finally going to get the premium products and good quality NBA competition. And it's fair to say we didn't. I would like to know who's in charge of selecting the teams that come over to Europe and fly the flag for your wonderful products in our continent, let alone our country. And I would like to berate them because, yeah, not the best. Not the best. I'd also like to apologise for being slightly late on the call, gentlemen. I saved the number wrong, rung someone else. I'm sorry, whoever I spoke to, they were quite angry at me. So here we are now, free and willing to make jokes about Americans.
Speaking of jokes about Americans, we've made quite a few about the Chicago Bulls, and at the expense of those in management, those in coaching, and some effort issues too. Are we in any way overlooking the effort that's been being given to Jim Boylan and thus Scar Foreman and John Paxson over the last 2-3 weeks or so? And what does that mean for where this core is supposed to be?
Well, there's a good way to lose, and that starts from putting forth effort and actually acquiring pieces for the future that are worth something. I harken back to when Scott Skiles took over back in the day. The idea there was that if they were going to lose, they were at least going to lose with a hard-working culture and discipline on and off the court. That's the idea here, I believe. The proof will be in the pudding, and the pudding doesn't taste very nice. So I'm not convinced that is what we're seeing right now. This is repeated heavy losses, and it's not just a talent disparity. The roster is wonky and misshapen, and there's been some injuries, admittedly. It's far from complete. But it's not 9 consecutive losses of 57 points each or whatever it is bad. There's a disenfranchisement that comes from somewhere. Now, I'm about 5,000 miles away. I can't tell you what it is. But on the court, the results are not positive. It's not trending the right way. I don't see any imprint that you can take some positivity from, be it in the results or in the process of how the results are coming back. So I'd like to say yes, but I can't.
We're beginning to have conversations now because it's based a little bit more in reality when people have been around this team for a long time, believe that something may change and that something may be above coaching at this point. It may be time to move on to new sets of eyes on the whole organization, to find some young, intelligent, modern thinker to look over the Bulls and figure out how to de-wonkify some of these things. Who is that next guy in your estimation? We see what's going on with the Nets. We know what Masai Ujiri has done in Toronto. Do you have a name that if you said there is an executive right now that you could give your team over to him and he'd figure out what to do with it?
I would be able to give some names, but I'm not going to for reasons of personal bias, and that's not something I want to have. I do believe you're correct in that. It may be time to look in that direction. This, as you'll know, gentlemen, is not a team prone to upheaval at the management level. I mean, there's been John Paxson and Jerry Krause, and that's the last 85 years of the franchise covered. So there's not one for turnover in that respect. I think more than anything, be it someone new who comes in or the incumbent staying on, consistency is the aim here. They do... The current hierarchy, they generally draft well. Everyone misses on a couple. Going back to Tyrus Thomas 2006, big miss. Everyone misses on a couple. They generally draft well. They're not bad, identifying talent. And they're not altogether that bad at getting value for that talent. I know that sounds a bit odd in light of things like the Ben Gordon and the Luol Deng trade. But relative to peers, it's not that bad. But there's not a consistency with the direction. It is chopping and changing. Look, we've gone from the Wade and Rondo backcourt to where we are now in a very short period of time with nothing to show for it on or off the court. Maybe that's a case of inconsistent voices, too many cooks spoiling the broth. Hard to say as an outsider. Again, we can only here measure the results, and the results are that the team is not nearly as far along as a rebuild as they would like to say that they are and did say at the start of the season. So be it new blood or the old blood reinvigorated, a decisive direction must be taken. They claim to have done so, and there's some evidence on it with trades that began with the Jimmy Butler trade and things that have happened afterwards. But then that is completely discombobulated when you do things like sign Jabari Parker, who blends in no way on the team whatsoever. So where's this going?
I guess the question is nobody knows, but the worry is that the trend that they're on is an irreversible one when it comes to the development of that core. Like the way Jim Boylan's trying to use Lowry Markin and the spots he's putting them in, the offensive sets that kind of go nowhere, the lost nature of Chris Dunn in general. Do you believe that there is a point at which you're not bringing a player back from wherever you've got him to, or are all things reversible given the amount of talent in a specific player?
Well, therein lies the nature of my question of where's this going, because if you do draft a talent in the form of Markkanen who not only has a high talent level but also fits the new orthodoxy within the NBA, then use him accordingly. You've got the same with Wendell Carter. That's a fantastic draft pick. The Bulls generally draft well and have done for 20 years nearly. But where's that going? Where is it going? Like you say, you've got a suboptimal offensive strategy that's built about outdated principles that are outdated for a reason. I suppose there's some idea within there of going against the grain, but that reminds me in turn of Isaiah Thomas with the Knicks, who famously in Bill Simmons' book said that when he brought in Zach Randolph and Eddie Curry at the same time, his aim was to go against the new orthodoxy that have headed away from post play and beat teams up down low. But it doesn't work because teams go away from the orthodoxy for a reason. The Bulls are not... They kind of were, I suppose, under Fred Hoiberg, at least in the second half of last season. But they're not seemingly embracing new concepts, or at least not consistently. They get the right kind of players and then don't put them in the right kind of system. The management coaching disconnect, it sounds as though there isn't one, considering that Jim Boylan keeps getting contract renewals. But if there does seem to be one in practice, whereby the pieces of the puzzle are not matching the way the puzzle's being put together. Is it reversible? Absolutely. Is it headed the wrong way? Definitely.
I saw this stat that has absolutely blown my mind. We've talked a lot about James Harden with you, Mark, and just how amazing he is and how mold-breaking he is, how sui generis, I guess, would be the term. And this is from statistical expert Mike Garrigan, who says, only 9 players in NBA history in a full season have had 950 field goal attempts, 530 three-point attempts, and 475 free throw attempts. 3 in Gilbert Arenas and Damian Lillard and James Harden have done it multiple times, but only 9 players in history have done that in a full season. James Harden this year has already reached those in 41 games. That is astonishing to me, what he is doing, what he is being asked to do. I'm on record saying I don't necessarily enjoy watching him play. I have an aesthetic issue with how he plays, but what are we seeing in Harden?
Well, I'll give you wholehearted agreement on the short comment about the aesthetic there, because standing around for 15 seconds, throwing in a jab step that doesn't necessarily get any separation, then dropping in the 3 anyway, hey, it works. It's 3 points. You can't block it, but it's not pretty. The game a day or two ago, I can't remember what it was, when they put up 73 pointers and about 32 pointers and all starting from Harden, pounding the ball until his palms are orange, doing absolutely no work off the ball because he doesn't need to because he's never off it. Bench players just shooting threes, even front court players just shooting threes. It's the best of the situation that they've got because they have a talent disparity for a team that was contending last year. They're making the best of it. Fair enough. It's not pretty. I agree with you. It's hard to, frankly, like. Then again, it's measured by results. I believe they're 25-19 on their way up, so that's something. The only reason they're 25-19, though, is the individual brilliance of that man who we know exactly what he's going to do every trip down. At best, you're choosing between 2 options. Go lefty to the rim, drop in the jumper. We know what's coming up every time, gentlemen. It doesn't matter. He's going to the rim to flail or to dump it off to, well, as was Clint Capella, now whoever's in the vicinity, or is pulling in that 3, or when Chris Paul's around, occasionally he'll give it to him and let him have a go at doing the same thing. We know what's coming, and it doesn't matter. And that is the measure of greatness. When you know Steph Curry's pulling up from 35 feet in semi-transition, he does it anyway and drops it anyway, you can't stop it. This was the defining characteristic of Michael Jordan. You know it's coming and he does it anyway. That puts Harden into particularly elite category, even notwithstanding the statistical output, as you touched upon there, and the streak of high-scoring games he's on right now, which is phenomenal. Even beyond the stats, just to watch the way he's doing it is something that hasn't been done before. I remember at the turn of the century, gentlemen, we were lamenting the dominance of isolation basketball, and we did slowly move away from that. Admittedly, it's different watching James Harden doing it to watching Steve Francis and Stephon Marbury do it and players like that, because it's a lot more efficient to do so with such a heavy barrage of three-pointers and free throws. At the same time, we spent a long time moving away from isolation for a reason, and now the NBA's leading scorer by far is also the NBA's most dominant isolation player by far. Aesthetically challenging, but undeniably brilliant.
Mark, what do you expect as the Warriors get the Clippers tonight and are expected to have DeMarcus Cousins back into the lineup for the first time, I should say?
I wouldn't expect too much too early. At the same time, let's take a hypothetical scenario, which isn't going to happen, but hypothetical scenario where Cousins never receives an offensive touch and just is in there to rebound and protect the rim. He will give up points on switches and in transition. At the same time, just by being a rebounder alone, he's going to add a lot of value to the team. He's an upgrade on Kevon Looney, and Kevon Looney is very good at what he does as a workman, like a yeoman in there on the interior. Straight away, you've got an upgrade in size and talent with Cousins. Then add in how he's going to fit in offensively. I don't think he's going to get much. I don't think there's much point. At the same time, we must remember that the reason the Warriors aren't as good as they have been over this four-year stretch, despite retaining pretty much the same personnel, is the offense hasn't diversified since then. The core has stayed the same. The bench players have changed, but defenses have caught up. And the Warriors system, such as it is, which is unstoppable when it goes well, doesn't really have range beyond that. It hasn't needed it, to be fair. What range do you need when you've got Kevin Durant, who can hit anything from anywhere at any time over anyone, and Steph Curry, who can do the same from even further out? They're still running a lot of mid-range actions in the ways that teams don't normally do, and that represents a large part of their offensive diversification. So wouldn't it therefore be nice to have someone on the block who you can dump it into to stretch the floor the other way? You should, in theory, have a floor stretched around him, but it can't all be dribble drives. There must be someone on the interior to whom you can give a touch. This relies upon Cousins embracing that. For many years, I think he averaged 5.4 turnovers last year, pre-injury, something insane like that. For many years, he's wanted to prove himself as the Anthony Davis, as the everything all over the court kind of guy, offensively at least. Defensively, he does just kind of stand there. But if they can, he knows what he's joined, and I don't think they've sold him on the promise of come here and play like Channing Frye. So he will have been sold on the promise of you can get us back to our elite best. If you get on the interior, use your dominant size and talent and touch, clean the glass, block shots, prove your health from your serious injury, get back on the market, get paid with a ring in your pocket. So assuming Cousins embraces that, and we cannot say one way or the other whether he's going to do so because he's never been in a situation remotely like this before, he will put them, not they're already back to top of the West, but he will open up a gap to the field if he embraces it. If not, I can't see him taking much off the table, but that would be a shame.
Mark Deeks of Sham Sports, it's always a delight, and I was looking at this story for the BBC just 4 days ago. The number of people who have been buying for £300, buying a preparedness box called a Brexit box to stock up, stocking up on food, worried about food supply issues. I'm picturing you in your bunker with your freeze-dried food.
Yeah, well, I mean, our government are certainly making a mountain out of a molehill and doing it all wrong, but at least they haven't been shut down to pay for a wall. So politically, neither of us is doing great.
There it is.
We're not happy. We're not happy. You're not happy. No one's happy.
Nope. Welcome to the world, Mark. Thanks. We appreciate it.
No problem.
It is Mark Deeks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.